Oh, look at the time. It is rant o'clock. I haven't done a rant in a while, so it's about due. Jamal Bryant spoke at a gay church this past Sunday. I don't know when it was. It may not have been Sunday, but it was a while ago. It was a short time ago. And still, Negroes trapped in Christianity cannot see the propaganda, the psyop, the rituals surrounding this individual. I don't get why they still show up at his church. He went to a church where one of the bishops is gay and his first gentleman and talked about how finding your man, finding your person means a lot in this walk. And they talk about scripture. They preach scripture, preach salvation, preach the kingdom, preach the rapture. People who are sodomites, and where it is talked about in scripture that you cannot be a sodomite, you cannot be unbelieving, you cannot be a murderer, you cannot be a thief, you cannot speak lies and think you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Somehow they had persuaded straight and gay alike that they will enter the kingdom by doing whatever you want. And you know what? I'm at the point in this walk where you just let people be exactly what they're going to be. Just let them be exactly what they're going to be. That's what it says in Scripture and Revelation. Let he who is righteous be righteous still. Let he who is unrighteous be unrighteous still. This is in Revelation. There is no helping these people. These people are blinded by such a blindness that only Yah and Yahushua will wake them up at the time of their destruction. You got to let them have it. We are in a position just to give them the seed, give them the truth so they cannot have an excuse on the day of judgment, on the day of wrath, on the day of Yahuwah, that they say, oh, nobody told me. Nobody warned me it would be this way. And then Yah will bring their Ruach to the attention of all the things that they were told by truthers, by people searching the truth, obeying the Torah, that have said to them, you should turn from your wicked ways. And this person has told you. And he has, and Yah is pretty much better than any black woman or Negro woman who has receipts. The Most High has the ultimate receipt. It says in Enoch and most parts through Scripture that what we say, what we do is recorded on the heavenly tablets. This is the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement is recorded in the heavenly tablets by the angels. So everything we say and do is recorded. Every instance of somebody telling us to turn from our sins is recorded. Everything we do and say will either convict us or save us. That is why I get into telling you to get into the works of praise and worship the ancient ways. Because that's going to be recorded. Now, mind you, we don't know if it's going to be right. We don't know if our offerings are accepted. But the fact that it's recorded, a brother asked me, how do I know which meat should I offer? It's supposed to be from your Ruach, not from me telling you. But say if it's not accepted or you feel like it's not accepted, the Ruach will tell you when it's not accepted. If you're unsure, if you don't think you selected an offering without spot or blemish, the Most High will correct you. Sometimes our offer, we're not even getting any information on if it was accepted or not. I offered the 10% of the mangoes that came in this year from my trees. Only one of my trees produced fruit, and it didn't produce a lot. So I took the 10% and tithed to the Most High. And it's just now, still today, is sitting in the grass. I don't burn the fruit because in the scripture it says not to burn the fruit. But I put oil on it, and it says salt every oblation. So I put a little bit of salt, the South African salt, on my oblation. And it's just sitting in the grass. When I did this the first time, I had an abundance of mangoes. And I didn't even know if it was 10% or not. But I just said, I'm going to offer half my tree, I'm going to offer my fruit. And he sent squirrels, crows, birds to pick up at the fruit, and all of it was gone. So I don't know if it's going to be accepted. I don't know if it has been accepted. But what I do know is that my actions is recorded. Me trying is recorded. That's all I can hope for. That's the whole point of faith, is you don't know. When you go to Ezra was almost worried, more worried about the unrighteous than he was the righteous. And Yah had to tell him, said, do not be concerned about the punishments of the unrighteous. Worry about how the righteous will be saved and how you have a treasurer of works stored up that won't be shown to you until the consummation of time. That's what he told Ezra. So this whole Negroes propagating and setting up the gay church as its own separate kingdom, as its own set apart kingdom, is a laugh and a riot. And straight Negroes go to this man's church every Sunday to hear the word, and they're hearing nothing but a motivational speech. That's how insecure, that's how trodden down these people are in their lives, where they need not a week full of salvation and ruach, that they're so empty, they're so downtrodden, that they need 5 hours on a Sunday to boost their ruach, to boost their energy, to put a little salt in their kundalini spirit to get them through the next week. So they're not really searching for real repentance. They're not searching for real salvation. They're on E. Their gas tank and their spirituality is on E. And they just go into the gas station, which is that gay church, which is Jamal Bryant's church, and they just fill up $5 at a time. That's it. They don't even fill up for the long haul. They fill up for $5 at a time. They fill up as if, matter of fact, this walk to them is like a crutch. And there's people who are, I would believe, in my sense of the word, cowards. People who search for crutches, search for their victimhood, search for an easy path, an easy way, and they go through every situation and circumstance in their lives looking for the crutch rather than looking for the challenge. Some of us are blessed to be in sports arenas, and I'm not talking about just professional, but if you ever played a sport in your life, you understand the challenges with that sport. You understand going against competition. You understand that. None or no great athlete or any good athlete, regardless of what level you completed sports in, went into a game looking for crutches. Say, you know what? I may get hurt this game. Let me start off with crutches. Let me start off with ice real quick. Let me start off limping. Maybe they'll take it easy on me. Let me tell Coach Stone to put me on in this in certain plays, because I know that the plays I'm being heavily relied upon. No athlete has ever done this. But people who are in this life without any challenges or any adversity do not understand how to go through this walk without limping, without crutches, without a wheelchair, because they have been so used in their victimhood to searching for things that will help coddle them through circumstances. How can you ever rely on the strength of Yahuwah? How can you ever rely on the strength of your character, the strength of your will, if the first thing you think about when you have to go through adversity and challenges is, damn, I'm going to be hurt during this. I'm gonna get hurt doing this, so I need my wheelchair. This walk is not supposed to be easy, especially now in this generation. Nothing we do is supposed to be truly easy. Now, mind you, the Most High will give us peace. He will give us rest. He will give us strength. But first, we must test our own strength in this walk. We must go through certain adversities to be purged and to be tried as gold is tried. We have to be put through the furnace. The Most High has said this. He has to put us through the furnace. He has to try us as gold is tried. He talks about in Zechariah, the 2/3 from every nation will be cut off. But the 1/3 I will bring through the fire. So people who don't understand that they have to be brought through the fire, the first thing they look for is the wheelchair before they start walking. Looking for crutches before they start walking. And doing this makes you a coward. It makes you weak. You exalt your fragility more than you exalt the strength of Yah. Because you think there's power in weakness. You think it, well, in certain weaknesses, you think it's power in weakness of the flesh. You don't use the weakness and for the power of Yah. You use the weakness and the power of being a victim. It's really a disgusting habit to see, especially out of adults. That your whole life you have to be fragile. Fragility is something, man. People truly made a personality. A whole personality out of being fragile. Out of being a victim. I don't see how these people can ever go through life looking and understanding the strength of Yah, even reading scripture. If you read Psalms, man, Psalms is an entire book of David being weak. And the Most High must have given him strength because he didn't get conquered by his enemies. This man had made an entire book, past 100 chapters, about being weakened, not having strength. Being scared, being in fear, but yet this man had to go into battle after battle after battle and still came out victorious. This man had to escape wars, not just on the battlefield, but within his own house. He had to put down rebellions in his own house for his sin, for his transgression. And he was put in fear most of the time. But David didn't say, you know what? Take my life from me. You know what? I'm done. I don't want to do this no more. I don't want the kingship. You have never heard David at any part of Psalms say, I don't want to be king no more now. He never said, you know what? Bring somebody up that can do what I do, but I still can have the power, but let him be under me as second king. He has never said that. Anytime during his rule, he has never said that. He has never said, you know what, Solomon's going to take after me. Can you just raise him up at the same time? So when I'm dead or when I'm weak, you could put him in charge instead. He has never said that, never done that. But somehow people don't read these parts of scripture. They run to, oh, it's love, it's patience, it's love, it's this and that. And don't even really have a real understanding of how to truly find the love of Yah through being weak, through struggle and adversity and challenges. How do you know how far your spirit or your ruach can go if you don't try it? Why is it the first thing you think about when your spirit or your ruach is tried is how you can get crutches, how you can get your wheelchair up? I mean, we can go through 1 Kings 19, 2 through, let's see. Let's do 2 through 10, the story of Eliyahu. And I just happened to see this story. I didn't know there was many layers to it because it never made sense to me why Eliyahu ran off. Why did he just run off just because Jezebel said or sent him a note saying that she was going to kill him? I mean, we know the story. I mean, Eliyahu killed a lot of Jezebel's priests and prophets because Jezebel killed the Most High's priests and prophets. So we're going to this little war. So why all of a sudden when Jezebel sent him a note saying, sent him a note saying, Yah do with me as he will, but I'm going to make you as the prophets and priests that you took out of this world. I'm going to make you like them. So imagine you doing the work for the Most High and you're in your strength and you do exactly what he wants you to do. You destroy the priests and prophets of Baal. And you thought somehow there wasn't going to be no get back. There wasn't going to be no revenge. So she sends you a letter or a note. It wasn't even like she rolled up on him or pulled up on him at his doorstep and said, "Yo, come on outside with people outside waiting for him." Like we joke about, "Come outside, ain't nobody gonna jump you." That didn't happen. She sent him a note saying, "I'm gonna do it myself. I'm gonna kill you." This man fled after what he thought was gonna happen. That she was gonna just like, "All right, let me just concede. Because he took away my prophets and priests." She was ready to go to war too. This man ran away. And it says, verse 2, "Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Eliyahu, saying, So let the Elohim do to me and more also, if I make not your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Yehuda, and left his servant there." Now, Beersheba is also on the David Rumsey's map collection in Southwest Africa, a little bit above the Orange River where Yerushalayim lies. So I've seen where Beersheba is. And we know that Yaounde means Yehuda and Kakongo. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. But I know I think I've seen a meme where it says Kakongo Yaounde or something like that means Yehuda. And Baka or the pools of Baka I found also in Southwest Africa. It's mentioned in Psalms when it talks about David was at the pool of Baka. I have also seen that Yehuda is also around where Cameroon is. And that's almost right near where Beersheba was found on maps. So it makes good sense that this is where the tribe of Yehuda, or most of Yehuda, was. "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, It is enough. Now, O Yehuah, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." This man had done the work of the Most High, got scared because a woman threatened him, oppressed him, ran away, and said, "Oh, please take my life away from me." When times get hard, this is what these type of men did. Jonah, "Oh, it's getting hard, I'm gonna run away. Oh, it's too hard for me, I'm gonna run away." This is why are given these examples in Scripture, so we can learn not to do or not to have this type of weakness and ruach. "And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again." This is the Most High even having mercy. When someone is at the brink of their collapse, the brink of their sanity, the brink of their weakness, the Most High is going to strengthen you. But some of you don't even get to the point of where you get to the where you are in fear of your life and you have to run away. Some of you haven't even reached that point because you come into this life with, oh, please carry me. Oh, please push me in this wheelchair. Oh, please give me crutches before I start walking. And the angel of Yahuwah came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. And he arose and he did eat and drink. And he went in the strength of that meal 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb. Again, I don't know why that time increment keeps popping up, but 40 days and 40 nights mean something. That means the Most High can almost expect you to do exactly what you're going to do. And he has prepared a walk, prepared a symbol for you so it can travel throughout generations for your understanding of why he does exactly what he does, that we do not do anything outside of him. We are when we are connected to him. It's all based on his timing. I'm keep telling you, the Most High has his specific numerology, just like Satan has his specific numerology. Where does Satan get his numerology from? He gets it from the Most High. So just how he can read and understand 40 days and 40 nights means something, just like it means something to me, he can create a system where the alphabet and numerology can mean something when it comes to his timeline. It's very simple to see if you understand it. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of Yahuwah came to him. And he said unto him, what are you doing here, Eliyahu? What are you doing here? And he said, I have been very jealous for Yahuwah Elohai Sabaoth, for the children of Yashareel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and slain your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before Yahuwah. And behold, Yahuwah passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before Yahuwah. But Yahuwah was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake. But Yahuwah was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake a fire. But Yahuwah was not in the fire, and after the fire a still small voice. And it was so, when Eliyahu heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what are you doing here, Eliyahu? And he said, I have been jealous for Yahuwah Elohai Sabaoth, because the children of Yashareel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and slain your prophets with the sword. And I, even I, only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And Yahuwah said unto him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you come, anoint Keziahu to be king over Aram. Most High, he went out there fleeing for his life because he was scared of Jezebel. He sent an angel, Yah sent an angel, to give him a little bit of strength to get him to the destination he's supposed to go. He gets there. The Most High said, what are you doing here? I gave you a mission to complete. Why have you ran away, basically? He said, well, this is why I ran away. They want to seek my life and take it away. So the whole thing of him saying, go stand on that mountain. So he demonstrated, Yah demonstrated what he could do to him that would be far more devastating and tragic than anything that Jezebel could do. And this goes to the scripture of, do not fear what man can do, but fear what man can destroy, flesh and ruach in hell. Be more in fear of him. That's what Yah was showing him, that just by the wind, I can destroy these mountains before you. This wind, I can destroy you and blow you from this top of this mountain all the way to another mountain in another country. I could do this. You hear this earth? You feel this earth shake? I can spread it apart, split it open, and drop you in it. You see this fire? I could burn your butt up with it. So again, what are you doing here that you're so afraid of a woman? Most I said, and he said, you said what he said. He said, you know what? Go do what I tell you to do. Then when you're done, then I can raise you up and put somebody else in your stead. But you gotta first do what I tell you to do. Now the Most High could easily have said, well, he's tired. Let me bring him up since he's tired. Don't send the angel to give him food or nourishment or strength. Matter of fact, bring him up here with me, and that'll be that. If the Most High did that, we would be expecting for an angel to this day to come down and save us when we are distraught or when we're in high anxiety or when we're in our weakness. He could eat, we would be thinking that that's what the walk is about. The walk is about giving us crutches and a wheelchair when we're tired and we don't want to walk no more. But it's the Most High that knows our strength. He knows our ruach. He knows our heart and mind. He knows what we can put ourselves through. And people forget, when it came to wickedness and sin, we didn't spare no expense with our strength in doing wickedness. When we were weak in ruach, we were strong in wickedness and sin. But as soon as we come into this walk, we act like we can't go through any type of adversity or temptation or trials and tribulations and fear. We act we're not supposed to go through that when we come into this walk because people are not reading the proper scriptures to strengthen them to make this walk seem powerful for them. But instead, they look at the victimhood of their mistakes, the victimhood of their ruach, because that's all they know. They only know weakness. They think being strong is being weak. They think, oh, I need to be at the center of attention of my weakness because then people come to me. People bring me crutches. People will bring me a wheelchair. People will bring me bandages. Before I even begin to walk, I know that I'm going to need a crutches, wheelchair, bandages, ice. I need ointments. I'm going to need all this before I start walking. And you people think, who think this way, think the walk is going to be any easier. It is not. Because the Most High is going to strip away your comfortable level, your comfort level. He's going to strip away your ointments, strip away your bandages, strip away your crutches, strip away your wheelchair, and say, no, I want you to walk through this, through the fire yourself. So when you are truly weak, this is where my strength will be perfected. This is when you will truly see me show up for you. And people don't press their ruach. When it comes to the Ruach HaKodesh, they don't press it hard enough to find that salvation or that Yeshua from Yah, that help from Yah. But nobody needed help when it came to wickedness. Nobody needed help when it came to their perfect sin or their perfect vice. I know some of y'all spent many a days or many a nights recovering from a hangover, recovering from too much alcohol. When you were in the strength of your drunkenness and you were made weak by that drunkenness, what'd you do? You did the Tylenol, you did the coffee, you did the water, you did everything but Yah. You did everything but turn from that sin and seek Yah. And you went right back out the same night. Right back out the same night to keep drinking and keep going out. But when it comes to this walk, people find crutches before they start walking. People want the wheelchair before they start walking. And doing so and having this type of mentality makes you weak and makes you a coward. It does not make you strong. And Yah's strength is never going to be perfected in you when you look for the easy route before you start walking. Before this journey, you look for the easy route. And you plague your mind with how can it be easy for me? This is why the Most High showed him what he could do on that mount. So when he went back in the cave, he covered himself up, must have covered himself up for shame. It says he covered his head up with a mantle and went back into the mouth of the cave. So the Most High asked him again, why are you doing here? What are you doing here? So after he explained to him, he sent him right back out there with a mission. I want you to go do this. I want you to go do that. I want you to go over here. I want you to go there. Then I will bring somebody else up that's going to give you rest. You can come up here and you ain't got to worry about it no more. But first, you're going to do exactly what I told you to do. So imagine when you're in your weakness and you feel like you can't go no further and you call out to Yah. But if he gave you a specific mission, a specific role in life, do not think you're going to be able to get out of that role or escape that role just because you're tired and you're beat down and you have no energy, you have no strength, or you're in fear, or the anxiety has covered you. Do not think he's just going to let you out of what he called you to do. He will strengthen you, and then he'll send you right back out there. People need to understand the difference between being weak in the walk and self-pity. This generation is littered with too many examples of people who dwell in their self-pity. They want people who are of strength to sit there and abide by and coddle to their self-pity. This world has been made weak, and it is said in Scripture in Ezra how weak this world has become. Spiritually and physically, is becoming weak over time. It's too many avenues and streets, options, pages, websites, books, movies, songs, images, idols, prophets, priests that coddle to self-pity. If you're in your self-pity, that means you're listening to the world more than you are listening to Yah. And that is the bottom line of it. That is the simple version of it. Regardless of what I've said in this whole entire podcast, at the end of the day, if you are listening to the world more than you're listening to Yah, then that is why you are dwelling in your self-pity and your anxiety and your fears overcome you, because you're listening to the world more than you are listening to Yah. You're pulling from the examples of the world more than you're pulling examples from Scripture. That is the bottom line. It's hard to hear because people who are cowards and dwell in their self-pity and dwell in fear most of their lives go through this because they haven't come to this understanding of it. All their lives they've been Jonah. All their lives they've been Eliyahu. People get such a misunderstanding of what this walk is truly about. It took me a very quick time. I'm talking about a very quick time to understand how the Most High's strength is perfected when we are weak. I mean, it talks about it when Paul wanted that thorn in his flesh that Satan put there to be removed from him so he could continue on his work. And the Most High told him, he said, "No, my salvation and my ruach is sufficient for you. When you are weak, I am strong." Why is that? Because he wants to use you as an example of people observing when you are weak, observing when you have no strength, and you keep going, is because they want to know, like, damn, why does this person keep going? I know all their trials and tribulations throughout their lives. Why do they keep going? Where did they get the source of the power of their strength to keep them going, that keep them in this walk? And they understand because the example of how you live is no one but Yah and Yahusha. That's what's keeping you up. That is keeping you upright. The times that you could have backslid, the times that you could have left this walk, left this faith, you stayed in it because people are watching you. You do not understand that you are a walking testimony. People do not understand because they're so trapped in their own self-pity and their own mind, do not understand that they are an example of righteousness, an example of Yeshua, example of Yah's strength. People are having their eyes on you to see if you fall. And when you fall, are you being held up? And if you're being held up, who is holding you up? No one else but Yah. Because it's the way you live your life. You don't live your life as the world lives its life. And when the world lives its life, when they go through fear, anxiety, self-pity, victimhood, victim shaming, all this other stuff all the weak behaviors that they get themselves into, that they made personalities of, the world watches them and say, "Oh, they're going on websites. They're going at this book. They're going at this teacher. They're going to this TED talk. They're going to this person. They're going to that person. They're not going to Yah. They're not going to the Heavenly Father. So let me follow this person into whatever doctrine they fall themselves into." That's how the world deals with itself. It doesn't deal with itself the way we deal with ourselves or should deal with ourselves. And honestly, like I said about the congregants and the audience that, you know, patronize Jamal Bryant, you got to let people do exactly what they're going to do. It don't even help them. You got to watch them. Watch them fall on their face enough times, and you keep living your example. You keep being the strength and finding your strength in Yah. You can't get people to understand where you're coming from. You can't get people to think anywhere outside their own victimhood, their own self-pity. You cannot do that. All you can do is show them how you walk in strength and walk in strength in a walk when you are down, when you pray. That's all the only thing you can do, and hopefully it rubs off on them. But they would have to go through their own misfortune, their own misgivings, and the judgments of Yah and the corrections of Yah first. And instead of them, like I said, when the words and actions are being recorded and they find that they're not listening to you, their actions of disobedience and not listening to you are recorded as well. The Most High sees that. And if the Most High is about order and the Most High is about correction, He will make sure you are being corrected to a point where, just like He did with Eliyahu, put him up on a mountain, show him exactly what fear is and what he should be afraid of, and then send you right back out there. Now go on back out there and do what I told you to do. Be who I told you to be. Some people want to get to that point. Just like destruction. People want to get to destruction until they actually find out what Yah is. And I've always been someone or a messenger that says, why go through that? Why go through A? Why go through B and C when I can get you to D? Why not understand from A, this is what it's going to be, rather than have to go through B, B1, B2, B3, and then C, C1, C2, C3, and then get to D? Why have to go through all that? But the reason why people have to go through B1, B2, B3, and C1, C1, C2, C3 is because they rely on the world. That's all they know. Because in self-pity, people don't like to hear the truth. When you're a victim, you don't like to hear anything that'll make you strong. You don't like to be tested. Your weakness, your victimhood, your self-pity is what you have created, a whole personality to put you in a lot where you never have to be accountable. You can always blame something when you go through self-pity. You can always blame fear. You can always blame trauma. You can always blame other people. You can keep doing that all your life, so you don't ever have to take accountability and find strength through Yah. You can always do that. But this walk is not going to get any easier when it comes to the parts of Revelation where people are going to be dropping dead. There won't be a crutch for you. There won't be a wheelchair. There won't be any website you can go onto to ask what to do in these times. There won't be many people who know and understand what goes on in Revelation that will ever be any help to you, because they will be dealing with their own purging. They will be going through their own process. You're going to expect certain people to stop the walk that they're on, to turn back because you didn't want to listen to them at point A. And now you've gone through the B and the C's, you're at D, now you're asking for help. Like I said, sometimes you got to let people be exactly what they're going to be, to their own default, to their own problem, to their own downfall. Then they will see Yah and understand Yah. Yeah, we're supposed to help people and love them and forgive them and help them get through certain processes. But some phases in their life, when they keep going back to the world, you got to let them fall on their face doing it the world's way. And we can't show them that, only Yah, because He has the power to do both. What? Destroy the flesh and the ruach and the soul in hell. He has the power to do all that. Just like he has the power to send angels down to comfort Eliyahu, he has the same power to rent those mountains, cause fire to come up, wind to blow, all that. He can cause that and show the people that live in their self-pity and run away from trials and tribulations, he can show them exactly who he is. And I'm saying, why wait? Why have to go through that? Why not just listen to what the person is telling you this? Because obviously they know. Obviously they've been through a lot of trials and tribulations where they have themselves gone through situations where they have also dwelled in their self-pity and their victimhood, and they blamed everybody else. Like I said, it was quick for me. I went through it when I found out I could, you know, either make money or do a lot of talking engagements, talking about how I was a victim of, I was raised in football and me being spanked multiple times. This is why I was like that. Like, yeah, I've done that whole talking tour. And it was quick. Until Yah sat me down and said, look, this is what I have for you. These are the visions I've given you, and this is what I have for you. I don't care what you went through. I don't care what you think you went through. This is what I'm telling you to do. If you don't do it, I'm going to destroy you. And that's why I went through my process. The process of not knowing was my greatest fear. And he knew that. My anxiety was not knowing. He knew that I had a drive and a fire of wanting to know. So he fulfilled me by giving the power to know that had calmed my anxiety. And that's when I took that power that he gave me through purging of the fear of anxiety, the fear of not knowing, and giving me knowledge and understanding. And now I run. I don't need crutches in a wheelchair. So when I go into trials and tribulations and adversity, it's because I know now. I know who has the power. Through reading scripture, I know who has the power. None of my enemies can conquer me. None of my enemies can beat me down. And if they do beat me down, it will be for my exalting in front of their faces. It's Yah preparing a table through the bruises and trials and tribulations of this walk. So I know that he will not fail me. He's given me examples after examples and after examples of me having no way out. I'm talking about no way out. No, no way out. That he gives me the information I needed, I want to say 10 minutes before something happens, an hour before something happens, he gives me information, so he lets me know that it's because of me you are able to conquer your trials and tribulations. You are able to conquer your self-pity, your victimhood, and your weakness. It's because of me. I'm showing you, because of me, I've done this for you. Keep going. So then after a while, you start turning up. Now, I'm not out here looking for fights, but I'm out here testing. So when I come across IUIC members, if I come across ISUPK members and I tell them exactly who they are and I show them that they're Prince Sarfrey Masons, I'll be ready. I'm ready for that war. You've seen the videos of them training. If you've seen Brother Ron's documentary on the Hebrew Israelites and them training for war, so for this big race war, and these brothers may not even be found. Like, who's going to go out there and fight just to fight and not get paid and lose their job, lose their house, lose their children, lose their woman just to be fighting in the street? That seems stupid and idiotic to me. But then again, these are weak men, fatherless men, trying to cover up their self-pity, their victimhood, with hypermasculinity and thinking that is going to fulfill them. So I'm going into a situation when I'm looking for that war. I'm looking for that. The Most High is going to put me in a situation where I have to either answer or concede, and he knows I'm not going to concede. I made a joke about this. I was like, I was once banned and thrown out of bars and nightclubs just for my actions. It would be a righteous change or a righteous turnaround or a righteous mirror that I end up getting thrown out of communities and thrown out of churches. Just like when the Hebrew Israelites showed up at church 2819, I'm almost close to wanting to be in that light of going to this random Christian church and just telling people who exactly who they are. and said, "No, you're Israelites. This is a false prophet. This is the scriptures that you guys are not reading," and have people take me up out of the church. I almost feel like that in my older years, that's going to be my thing. I don't know, maybe not, but I just know it'd be a funny coincidence. It'd be a funny mirror of my life, and that's what I would start doing. But anyway, even when I think about Yahusha, when I did that episode, or then I did the series about Yahusha, even he went through fear and anxiety. I wouldn't say self-pity, but even through fear and anxiety, he didn't want to go through what he had to go through. But the Most High still, his own son, did not take away, quote unquote, the cup of trembling from him. He still allowed his son, his only begotten son, to go through what he had to go through for a purpose. Yahushua didn't turn 33 and say, "You know what? I'm ready for my crutches. I'm ready for my wheelchair. This is going to happen to me. Can they wheel me out? Can they give me crutches before they start beating on me so they don't take it, so they don't go too hard on the punishments? Can I can just appear weak to them so they'll have a little bit favor towards me?" He didn't ask for We have no excuse, man. We truly don't. We don't have any excuses of why we play the victim in our lives. We don't. We have no excuse to put all our power, all our strength, and the anxiety and fears of this world. We really don't have no excuse. For what Yahushua went through, we have no excuse. None of us is going to be nailed to a cross. None of us is going to be dragging our cross through a street. None of us is going to go through the mockery and the reproach and humiliation as Yahushua. None of us will. And matter of fact, none of us would do it while we're innocent. If we get punished and have to go through that, it's because our sins. This man did not sin. This man didn't speak a foul word. He didn't speak anything out of order. This man wasn't drunk. This man wasn't in nightclubs. This man wasn't in bars. This man didn't hang out. This man didn't smoke weed. This man didn't drink. This man didn't do anything. Yet he was beaten, trodden down, humiliated, bled almost to death, and pierced. I'm not going to say for nothing because obviously he did it for a purpose. But in the worldly concept of why he was destroyed, he did this without being blamed for anything. And we cry, bitch, whine, complain about little tiny things of everyday things, really, because we only know victimhood, we only know self-pity. And we think that gives us power and strength because people have came and ran to the aid of our assistance when we're in self-pity. And that's what people really like. People like the community of being a victim because it's a big community. It is. When you're strong, the community ain't that big. Because when you're strong, you know you don't need that many people around you. When you're a victim, when you're in self-pity, when you're weak, you need a lot of community. You need a lot of people to coddle to you. You need a lot of people to be around you. You need a lot of people to rely on. Yahushua didn't need anyone but the Father. And he said this multiple times through scripture and all the books that he don't need nobody but the Father. The Father is him. He's in the Father. That's all he needed. Being in this world, man, being in this world has truly done a number on all of us. And we fail to keep understanding that we only need the Father. We only need to rely on Him. And the one thing that I understand from the Heavenly Father is that when we rely on the world, we rely on others, He will let the others in the world be our downfall and be our shame. I think it's in, off the top of my head, I think it's in Yirmiyahu or Yeshayahu. I think it's in Yirmiyahu when the Most High said that the Israelites had trusted and the strength of Pharaoh, because they ran back into Israel, Yashar, I mean, they ran back into Egypt, Mizraim. Just in the last days, when things get hard, people run back into the government, run back into politics, run back into what the world is going to do, and ask the world to save them. And the Most High said, "Because you have done this, you have ran back into Mizraim, and you've made Pharaoh your strength." Mizraim, or the shadow of Mizraim and Pharaoh, will be your failure. When you run back and trust too many things, those things will be your failure. And the Most High will see to it. One thing I do understand that, he will see to it. See to it. If your strength is in alcohol or weed, the Most High will remove it from you. He will let you fall on your face when you can't get to it, when you can't get next to it. He will put you in a place where he isolates you enough where you fall on your face and show you why you don't need it. But like I said before, why go through all that? Because it's not a good feeling. It's a humbling feeling. If you don't want to be humbled, if you don't want to go through certain humilities, why test the Most High strength and taking things away from you? Like I said, you can't save everybody. You can't get people to understand the type of walk and the type of truth that you see and are seeking, because they're blinded by this world, blinding by the community of being a victim. But when Yahushua says, take up your cross, take up your cross, take up your cross and follow me, that means you leave yourself at the door. At whatever door you're at, that's where you leave yourself and you follow after Yahushua. That means you take on all of the persecutions, hurts, trials and tribulations that he went through in that very short period of time. You take that on and say, you know what? I'm ready for it. You can't carry your cross if you got crutches. You can't carry your cross if you're in a wheelchair. You can't carry your cross if you're searching for a community to help you through self-pity and your victimhood. You can't carry your cross if you're weak from your flesh. You can't carry your cross if you got a vice in one hand and a vice in the other. You can't carry your cross if you don't give up yourself. That is the bottom line of this walk. And people have trouble carrying the cross because they're looking for crutches. They're looking for bandages. They're looking for the wheelchair before they even start walking with it. On the end note, I'm going back to Pam, because obviously I've seen more videos on TikTok of Pam talking about Hebrew Israelites and Hebrew Israelites this and Hebrew Israelites that, and trying to create some war. We're calling Hebrew Israelites a false doctrine, which most of it is when it comes out of these camps, is false doctrine. But they have to be very meticulous about this false doctrine. It can't be too many false doctrines within Hebrew Israelites, because then you lose people, because you're using a lot of the scripture. Now, you can twist it, but you're still using a lot of the scripture. More scripture you're using, more than Christian pastors. So the only thing that Christian pastors can speak about when it comes to the Hebrew Israelites doctrine is that it's legalism, that you're not allowed to eat certain foods, which it ain't really has to be looked at as a law. Look at it as it's supposed to save your life. There's a reason why Negroes get heart disease and high blood pressure and diabetes. It's because of the foods you eat, and most of those foods are unclean foods. So it ain't about just being legalistic. It's about saving your life through nutrition. But again, that's what Pam attacked, was the legalism of Hebrew Israelites. It never says that the laws are done away with. Now, mind you, we're not stoning people when they've sinned. And we aren't being burnt up in the valley when we do wickedness. Yahushua coming in and carrying that cross has allowed us to turn from our sin when we disobeyed the Torah, and being able to do so we can clean up our act when he comes back. That is the grace that we are given, to eventually stop sinning. But when it comes to Pam, he's talking about it's okay to do whatever you want because the church is going to be raptured. You can do what thou wilt. As long as you are in the foundation of religion, Christianity, and the church, you will be raptured. That's what he preaches. He preaches an entirely bigger false doctrine than the Hebrew Israelites preached false doctrine. That 12 tribes chart and them saying only Negroes and people who went through trials and tribulations, and not the white man, is going to be saved. That's it. And I remember in the early parts of the Hebrew Israelite doctrine, they were saying that the Arab was Esau. And they were only saying the Arabs were Esau. I fought countless times with a lot of these camp flunkies that kept saying that, no, the Arabs are the Edomites. They changed from the Arabs being the Edomites to the white man being Edom. But we know that Esau was in all nations. He was in Idumea, which is Rome. He was in Ishmael's children. And he was in the Canaanite children seed. So he was in a couple of seeds of where his bloodline is. But that's just two doctrines. And of course, the doctrine of them you've seen them cuss out or call women harlots just for going against them. Like, so they exalted themselves so high that women can't say anything to them or against them. That's pretty much the biggest doctrines that they have. And other this one where they're going to get this. And I heard a brother on this. I did a podcast with a brother on this show talking about he was going to get these Judah powers. They were just going to get powers and we would get to traverse our enemies. When the Most High has conquered nation after nation after nation in the ancient ways without ever having to give anybody any type of superpower like a Dragon Ball Z Super Saiyan power. It is never going to happen. I don't know why Negroes think that. I don't want to think, oh, we're going to get power. If we were going to get power, then what would be the point of Yahushua coming back with 144,000 angels with power if he's going to give us power? That this Judah gene was supposed to kick in. I remember when we were going through COVID, this Judah gene was supposed to kick in. And because we came out of the curse, we was going to be able to destroy this place with our power. Brothers being enemy too much. But that never happened. That was only a couple of doctrines that I've seen, I've heard. That were false. But when you actually break down Pam's theology that he learned from Rod Parsley, who was a Freemason, his school, Christian Valor College, you start to pull it apart and it don't make no sense. That's why he uses a lot of emotion, a lot of passion. And he'd be saying, wait, now watch this, watch this, watch this. It's a trick. It's a trick they teach teachers in theology or when they do teaching engagements. That they say certain things to make you clue you back in if you are somehow pondering on something that you know in your ruach seems false. That's why they say, watch this, watch this. See, look at this, look at this. They draw your attention back to what he's saying. You can't remember yourself of whatever false doctrine he said before that. It's all a trick. It's what they teach you when they teach theology and they teach you how to be, I'm pretty sure, a pastor. They have to teach you certain charismatic tics. In their language or in their preaching or in their sermons to get you to tune in when you tune out. That's why it's a spell. That's why he sits up in a dark room wearing all black. Scripture states, we are children of the light. We should not walk in darkness. But yet, Negroes get up at 8 o'clock in the morning to go sit in a church that's dark. And the only light that they see is from the screen and the people singing these weak church hymns. You know that alternative Christian alt-rock music. That's the only time they have light, is when they listen to the music. Other than that, it's dark in there. So how can you learn the light of the word, in a dark building with a dark pastor? And I don't get it. Like I said, you got to let Negroes go through their foolishness. You got to let them go through it. Because when the time of that raindrop happens upon this earth, you got to make sure you are in the ark or getting ready to step into the ark and them doors be closed. That's with anybody and everybody that's around you. You got to prepare yourself. Prepare yourself first. Do not try to stop your walk to prepare others. Prepare yourself first and let the example and testimony of your walk, your preparedness, yeah. Do not let them mess up your preparedness in entering that ark. It's where are they at? Is supposed to be where they're at? Leave them exactly where they're at. It is not up to you to bring them into the ark with you. That is on the Most High. If the Most High wants them in that ark with you, he will put a fire under their butt to get them to move faster to get on, to get under that ark. But do not step back out of your preparedness, out of your walk, out of your entering of the ark to save people who don't want to be saved and who don't see anything else but their own self-pity. Leave it be. For your own walk, leave it be.